Welcome to episode 127 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. So, I will now turn on the random number generator. The coordinates for this episode are 0 hours, 47 minutes, 11.5 seconds for ascension, and plus 85 degrees, 14 minutes, 38 seconds declination. This episode's coordinates point to NGC 188, which is one of the best known open clusters in the sky that isn't in the Messier catalog. In most images, it basically looks like a loose, gravitationally bound collection of hundreds of yellowish and reddish stars spread over an area about half the diameter of the moon, although the Gaia spacecraft has found that the cluster is actually twice that size. However, the cluster is about magnitude 8.1, which is 3 magnitudes fainter than what can be seen without a telescope, although it doesn't take a very big telescope to see the cluster, as I will describe later. The cluster is located in the constellation Cepheus, and is actually very close to the North Celestial Pole. In fact, one of my references used the technical description, quote, "way up near the North Celestial Pole," unquote, to describe the cluster's position in the Earth's sky. In terms of its location in space, NGC 188 is located about 6,430 light-years or 1,970 parsecs from Earth in a place outside the plane of the Milky Way. Many other open clusters are either brighter or closer to Earth, or both, which would make them easier for professional astronomers to study. Yet, NGC 188 is one of the most well-studied clusters in the night sky for a couple of reasons. First of all, NGC 188 is old. Very old. It's older than the internet, or electricity, or dinosaurs, or even the solar system. First, though, let me explain how astronomers determine the ages of clusters of stars. This is typically done by making a scatter plot with the star's brightnesses on the y-axis and the star's colors ranging from red to blue on the x-axis. These diagrams are called color magnitude diagrams, or color luminosity diagrams, or color brightness diagrams. When the cluster of stars initially form from an interstellar cloud of gas, the stars will all lie along a roughly straight line in this plot extending from the bright blue corner to the faint red corner. This is called the main sequence, and all of the stars on the main sequence will be powered by fusing hydrogen into helium in their cores. As the stars age, their cores will fill up with helium, and then they will undergo transformations into red giants, with other changes taking place later. In the color brightness diagrams, they will move off the main sequence towards the bright red corner of the diagram. Really big bright blue stars have relatively short lifespans and leave the main sequence after just a few million years and explode to supernovae shortly thereafter. The Sun and other mid-brightness yellow main sequence stars like it have lifespans of about 10 billion years. After the red giant stage and a few stages after that, they eventually become white dwarfs. In contrast, red dwarf stars take billions of years longer than Sun-like stars to leave the main sequence and become red giants. Astronomers can therefore identify the age of a cluster of stars by looking at which stars have left the main sequence. If lots of blue stars are present, it's a relatively young cluster. But if the yellow stars are beginning to die off, then it's a relatively old cluster. In NGC 188, Most of the main sequence stars are either mid-sized yellow stars, including stars about the same size as the Sun, or smaller and redder red dwarf stars that seem to live extremely long times. The cluster seems to be close to devoid of bigger blue stars, as well as many medium-large whitish stars. Based on this information, NGC 188 is estimated to be about 7 billion years old. By open cluster standards, this is ancient. Most open clusters get ripped apart by tidal forces in the Milky Way or just by gravitational interactions between the cluster and whatever the cluster is passing through. So it is extremely surprising that NGC 188 has managed to stick together for 7 billion years. In general, only globular clusters get much older than this, and that is because globular clusters orbit outside the plane of the Milky Way, where they don't gravitationally interact with the stuff in the plane of the Milky Way. It looks like NGC 188 may also be old in part because, by chance, it also orbits outside the plane of the Milky Way. What is extra unusual about NGC 188 is that, even though most of the blue main sequence stars seem to have evolved into red giants and exploded billions of years ago, the cluster still contains 21 blue hydrogen-burning main sequence stars. These are stars that people are fairly certain are located within the cluster, too. They aren't stars that just happen to lie in front of or behind the cluster and are photobombing astronomers' images of the cluster. These stars are called blue stragglers. They look like stars that are too young, and I guess you would say that they are straggling in terms of growing up. Back in episode 115, Tim Erickson from Funk, Nebraska asked me if I could talk about blue stragglers if the random number generator landed on one. And, well, we have a cluster with over 20 of them. So let's dive into understanding the origins of blue stragglers. First of all, just to be clear, NGC 188 does not contain any interstellar gas that it could have used to form new stars, so it would not have spontaneously formed a few new blue stars for some abnormal reason. It also seems really unlikely that the blue stragglers were somehow gravitationally captured by the cluster, especially since the cluster is currently in a place outside the plane of our Milky Way where new stars are not forming. Therefore, the smaller, cooler yellow and red stars within the cluster somehow had to be transformed into bigger, hotter blue stars. This could include smaller stars merging together somehow to form bigger blue stars, or gas being transferred from one star to another to make the second star into a bigger star that would look hotter and bluer. Observations of NGC 188 with the Hubble Space Telescope in 2012 demonstrate that the vast majority of the blue stragglers within the cluster exhibited some sort of periodic Doppler shifting that was consistent with the stars being in binary star systems. This seemed to favor the scenario where gas was being transferred from one star to another star within the binary system to create the blue straggler stars. In this scenario, one star in the system would first evolve into a red giant and then beyond that stage and would expand. In fact, the star would expand so much that the second star in the binary star system could gravitationally strip the outer gas layers from the giant star. The second star would then grow in size and also get hotter, which would make it bluer. Thus, the second star could transform from being a yellow or red main sequence star into a bigger blue straggler star. The first star would still be present in the system, but after its outer gas layers had been stripped away, all that would be left would be the inert core of the evolved star that would actually be more or less a white dwarf that would actually be very hard to see next to the very big blue star. These results from NGC 188 have been quite revolutionary in solving the question of where do blue stragglers come from. And since these observations, people have identified blue stragglers forming in similar ways in other clusters as well. Now, if you want to look at NGC 188 yourself, I can't guarantee that you'll see the blue stragglers, but you can see it with a decent-sized amateur telescope. The cluster is located a little to the east of a position about one-third of the distance along a line between Polaris and Gamma Cephei, which is at the northern tip of the constellation Cepheus. I hope that description isn't too complicated, but if it was, I recommend just finding a star chart showing the location of the object. The cluster is faint and extended, which can make it a bit difficult to find with a small telescope. In a 15-centimeter or 6-inch telescope, it will look like just a faint glow with potentially a few distinct stars. However, in a 25-centimeter or 10-inch telescope or larger, it's possible to see many of the bright individual stars. My telescope is too small to see NGC 188, so let me know if you can get access to a larger telescope and if you can spot it. The location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of NGC 188 in the sky is in the Arctic Ocean, about 450 kilometers northeast of Greenland and 475 kilometers northwest of the northernmost islands in the Svalbard archipelago. You might think that this is just a boring location in the Arctic Ocean that will eventually become ice-free because of global warming, but you would be wrong. And to be clear, you would be wrong about the location being boring, not wrong about global warming. This location actually corresponds to the Gackle Ridge, which is the northern extension of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, and which is where the northern portions of the North American and Eurasian plates are separating from each other. I personally think that Arctic plate tectonics is underrated, and I would recommend spending more time reading up on it. The website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com. You can visit the website to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy at www.sasha-endy.de. And the sound effects are from the Freesound Project at www.freesound.org. Thanks for listening.